Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This podcast is brought to you by Most Valuable Podcasts, leading the league in podcasting entertainment.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. This is the Fast Break Podcast. I'm your host with Ricky Wimmer.
What's up, guys?
And Dave Oster.
Hey, buddy.
And today we're going to be talking about what to expect from the Washington Wizards, one of the best offensive teams in the league and one of the worst defensive teams in the league. Then we'll be welcoming on patron John to talk about the Spurs, the struggling Spurs. We'll talk about where their future lies. What's the plan for them? We'll talk about, should they be rebuilding? Should they be not after 8 straight losses? Then we'll do Wet Boys. We got some interesting players in that segment. A couple first-timers, a couple, a familiar face in there. And a familiar face, but a guy that might not be showing up for a certain reason. So definitely check that out. And then we'll be ending it with some NBA broadcasting news. And not only broadcasting news, but some massive changes that could be happening to the NBA. So we'll talk about that. Check it out. Stay tuned through the whole podcast. And if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you watch all those segments. But if you are new here, you don't know about our YouTube channel, you don't know about podcasts, you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, just saw this and was like, oh, this looks pretty interesting. Check out patreon.com/mostofourpodcast. It's where you can learn more about us. You can help support us there as well. We'd greatly appreciate it if you check that out. Also, if you're listening on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, any of that, any place where you can rate and review a podcast, please do that because it means a ton to us. But let's jump into the Wizards topic. Like I said at the top, they are currently the second best team when it comes to offensive rating in the league, and they are the 30th team in the league when it comes to defensive rating. I think they are just behind the Warriors. Yeah, they're just behind the Warriors. It says 30. It's weird because it says 30 on their basketball reference page and league rank, but then when you actually go to the team ratings, they are second, so they'd be 29th, just in front of the Warriors. But they're both at 116, Warriors at 116.6, Wizards at 116.2, so we can pretty much frame it as one of the best teams in the league at offense when it comes to offensive rating.
They put
rating,
the ball in the bucket real well.
And one of the worst defensive teams, and maybe it's just leading one to the other. You got a bad defense, so you're getting more possessions. So let's talk about it, Dave. Where have you seen this team so far through the games that they've played? It seems they've played 13 games, which is one of the lowest in the NBA so far. They've played 13 games, so it's tough to kind of get a huge grasp on them. But what have you taken from the Wizards so far through those 13 games?
Bradley Beal is doing one hell of a carry job. Like, this is all-time kind of fun shit right now. They're an interesting team because they have a bunch of odd pieces that I did not know that they would work as well together as they are. Like, they added in Rui Hachimura's, their young talented rookie, high pick this year, and he's hit the ground running, and that's wonderful for them. But what we're getting in bunches is just scoring from the outside. Davis Bertans is huge for them. He came over from the Spurs, and that guy is just fire. Anything. He just shoots. He comes off the bench as a microwave. He lights it up. He spaces out the floor.
One of the best three-point shooters this year so far. He's taking 7 attempts. Is at 43%.
Yeah, he's been excellent for them. He keeps that offense up and running. You get the career revitalization from Isaiah Thomas that Sean and I had mocked each other because, like, are we going to say it? Are we going to say Isaiah Thomas is going to come back this year? Is this his comeback year? As Ricky keeps yawning at me.
Sorry.
It's fine. I was yawning to start the show. He's been fantastic.
Thomas Bryant
gotten that money. Going to keep playing well. Shit, even Mo Wagner. Like, last couple of games, trending upwards. It's almost like this team's fun to watch. Last year, where they were like, no offense, they were not fun to watch. They were a miserable team after John Wall went down. Yes, Bradley Beal had an amazing stat year, and yes, he was doing things that nobody knew he was that good of a player. We were like, yeah, he's a top five shooting guard in the NBA. He's very, very good with the ball in his hands. He's excellent. So, no, this team's fun. They're offensively, the ball moves. The team scores really well. They have good spacing. And I like their young pieces. Troy Brown, I'm not coming around on yet. Maybe that one will come with time. But everybody else, I'm loving it. Absolutely loving it.
Well, there's one name that you didn't mention, and I think Mr. Ricky Widmer will mention.
Well, he mentioned Brewy.
Did you?
I did.
He mentioned Brewy.
Yeah. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry about
that. I started
that.
With him. It's fine.
I apologize.
I mean, that's who I assumed.
You started with Beal.
Yeah, Beal, then Brewy.
No, you said Beal, then Bertans.
Nope, Brewy.
He did say Brewy in there, though. Whatever. I heard him.
Yeah. But you didn't go in-depth.
No,
career revitalization.
I'll let this man go on his boy.
So I'll tee it up for him. Top Golf Nelson Cruz here. Take it away, Ricky. What have you seen from your guy?
No, I mean, like, Rui's been doing exactly what I thought he would. Like, when everyone was like, oh, well, he hasn't played the game long enough. Oh, he's not a three. He's a four. He's a this. He's not that. Rui's doing exactly what I thought he would. Is he perfect? No, he's a rookie. Rookies are never perfect. But he is doing what I thought and what I saw at Gonzaga. And this is a team where I hate to be the pie in the sky guy, but I'm going to. But you look at the teams they've played, and really the only teams that they've lost to that I feel like maybe they should have beaten are like Cleveland, Orlando, their first game against the Spurs. But the Spurs did start out on a three-game heater. What, two or three games? This should maybe be a 7-6 team rather than a 5-8 team. And when you look at it, the interesting thing for the Wizards moving forward is how much tougher is the East going to get? Right now, they're a half game out of the eighth seed. I know it's early. We haven't even gotten to the quarter part of the season yet. But if the Magic are going to be a less than stellar team, if Brooklyn, now without their three-game road trip coming up, they're going to be without Kyrie. Do they take a little bit of a slid? Do we see the Wizards by the end of the year slide into an eighth seed, slide into a seventh seed? And could Bradley Beal carry them to the playoffs this year because of how weak the East is?
Did you say a bit of a slid?
A slid. Not a skid, not a slide, a slid.
All right, that's a little iffy.
He was right between the two words. Landed it perfect Ricky fashion.
Up climb, down climb.
I'm making my own words. I'm gonna pronounce them however
they
I want.
Slid it.
Well, it's the like, English language is my bitch.
It's exactly. Soapy, one of our patrons said, I bend the English language to my will.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's something to be proud of. With the Wizards, though, you brought up the schedule and stuff like that. It's interesting to frame it that way, but they're still a team that has poor results and an easy schedule. Mm-hmm. When it comes to NBA math, their net rating's still a negative. Their strength of schedule is still lower. They have better performances so far than like the Bulls, but they also have an easier schedule. So the 5-8 thing's a little bit iffy because they are in a position that is close to like, hey, could this team possibly sneak in as an 8 seed if they're able to keep it up? But I just think that this defense is going to even crumble. At some point the shots aren't going to go in, you know, and the shots can't go in every single night. But you can not play defense every single night. And that's the thing that concerns me the most is I don't think...
So eventually they're going to look like Zach LaVine and Lowry Marketing without the defense from the Bulls.
Well,
because their shots haven't been going in either.
I think they're worse than those players defensively. Like Isaiah Thomas, we know cannot play defense.
Yeah, he's 5'9".
We know Bertans isn't that great of a defender. Hachimura's okay. I mean, like he's had spurts, but like this is a team that I think the defensive woes are going to shine even more, and this is going to be a team that is going to be competitive at times for sure because they can score and they can move the ball. But I think right now you can just look at them as a fun team to watch.
That's what
to expect them. Because if you're having fun watching this team and you're a Wizards fan, that's what should be exciting you. Because at some point you'll get John Wall back, possibly next year, I think is what they're going to do. That's something that should excite you. It should get you excited because you're going to have another guy who can move the ball. And maybe these guys can take further steps developing as defenders. And I think also you can then go out into free agency possibly and get more defensive type players. But right now, if your idea is, hey, maybe we can just outscore people, go ahead.
If you didn't have fun in that 159-158 regulation game against Houston, you don't know what basketball is. I'm sorry. Like, it's just, that's exactly what this season is. This is all about just like how ridiculous can we have, how ridiculous is our offense? The ball movement out there is great, and it's not super selfish play. Bradley Beal comes up clutch at times, and it's just awesome. I think you're right. The expectations are wins, losses don't matter this year. Mm-hmm. You go out there, you're just trying to get guys experience. You're rehabbing Isaiah Thomas to see if there's value there that another team may want him by the time trade rolls around, or you may want to extend him and have him as your sixth man next year with a healthy John Wall, hopefully. I think you look at the younger pieces on this team and you're like, let's get them some season. Let's make sure they get the playing time, they get the experience now, because again, if Bradley Beal's like a 28, 6-6 player out there.
Oh, I think he can. That's the one guy I don't expect to dip offensively.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. If you have him and you add John Wall next year, this is a playoff team 100%, right? Like, there's no way that team misses the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So you're going to need these guys to be quality role players. You're going to need them to know what to do. And I think this year is all about teaching them the way you guys play basketball. And a lot of the young mistakes out there, a little bit of coaching can go a long way with the rotations, with their switches, with the way they rotate on defense, especially because some of the guys get lost out there. And again, 82 games of seasoning, it's exactly what you want this year.
The reason why I think they will likely trade Isaiah Thomas is not because what he's done hasn't been impressive. It has been. I've been very excited by his play. He's been very efficient. It's great to see, and I think that he can be a very interesting trade piece, especially for how less he's making. I mean, he's not making a ton of money this year, which is going to make him even more
attractive for
trades. I think the one reason to help him is that. The one reason that might take away from that, though, is they don't have young guards that he's really blocking. They have Justin Robinson from VT, but that's about it. Yeah. I mean, he's not a guy that they drafted. Admiral Schofield and Rui were their guys that were like really the pieces that they went after and drafted. So it's weird that they're not in a spot to, you know, really necessarily rush to move away from IT because they don't have a young guard. So.
Yep.
Maybe this year they do then go after a guard in the draft, and that could possibly be a reason why they do free up IT before the trade deadline.
Lord knows this class is stacked at the guard position. So I
that's where I'm kind of leaning towards the tipping point of when do you trade Isaiah Thomas or do you trade him, is because I would move him if I had a guard that was young and he's taking playing time away from, especially when it comes February, because you could ride that guard out to the rest of the year. But they really don't have that guy, so that's why I'm questioning maybe he does stick around, because he is only 30 years old. He is younger than Ish Smith, so maybe he is that just prime time, you know, six man of the year guy for you for 3 years. Yeah. And if you re-sign him to a three-year contract and ride him out until he's 34, he might be able to do that. So I think it's going to be an interesting storyline to watch for that. But, you know, Rui Hachimura is going to get a ton of time this year. Troy Brown's going to hopefully get a ton of time this year. Thomas Bryant's still going to play and hopefully develop defensively for your team. Bradley Beal is going to be a first-team NBA player if he continues to shoot 40% plus from the field and 35% plus from three, averaging 30 points per game. So I think the expectations for this team is get as much minutes as possible for the young guys, mm-hmm. mainly Troy Brown, Schofield, and
Rui,
and then
Mo Wagner and
Bonga too, yep. And see what you got in Isaiah Thomas as a trade piece, because that's really what I'm looking at. And if you start winning games, then hey, maybe the playoffs not the worst thing in the world, because you're going to get an all star guard in John Wall back in the offseason. So. I think right now this is pretty promising for the Wizards, because you at least know that this team can play in a system. They can pass very well. This isn't an unselfish team. They're going to find open shots. And that's something that teams that are rebuilding, like the Bulls, like we saw with the Suns last year, weren't doing. And this mm-hmm. is a positive sign, too, for Scott Brooks, because his team is playing well. And this is a team that we didn't expect to play well. And if they continue to move the ball around, that's a good thing. Then he's going to have to then focus on, you know, defensive work for this team, which is clearly a need. Mm-hmm. But I don't really think he has the defenders to even have a decent defensive team. So why not just push the pace as much as possible and try to blow teams out? I think it's been an interesting strategy from the Warriors or from the Wizards. But it's not a sustainable one, but it is one that I think is interesting to at least look at for the first 13 games. And I do wonder what they're going to look at come game 30. Is this something that can be sustainable? But right now, they've been fun to watch.
Dumb question. Mm-hmm. If you're a Wizards fan,
yep.
What are you hoping for? Are you hoping for fun year, but let's still be in the lottery to give us a chance even at a higher pick, but to have a lottery pick?
Yep.
Or are you saying, fuck it, I want to see this team as the 8th seed in the East, even if that means a 4-game sweep against the Milwaukee 100%
Bucks? 100%
lottery.
Okay. I don't know. Because here's the thing. You might have your big three already. Because if Rui's that good, you already took him with a lottery pick. You already have Bradley Beal. John Wall's your second option. Mm-hmm. Beal's your first. Rui's your third. What are you drafting for?
You want a three. I'm sorry. Like they need a three out there. Like mm-hmm. I love Rui. I think he's going to be a great fit long term for this team, and he's going to keep growing his game. Mm-hmm. But like you said, Thomas Bryant at the five, Rui at the four, blanket the three. I don't trust Troy Brown Jr. And that's mm-hmm. that's my big thing. I don't know if it's just fair, but
and yes, you're going to give yourself the first choice at a three.
Yeah.
But we know this is a guard draft already. So is there going to be that?
So you're
going to
get value because so many guards get taken so highly. I feel like the best wing on the board might be, you know, the sixth best player, the seventh best mm-hmm. player in the draft. So people by default are going to go ahead and get their guards or take the best player available. And then you might fall to a high quality wing in this draft class.
As of right now, the wings that would be available are like Precious and Khalil.
Here's the thing
from Memphis and Kentucky.
Here's the thing that I would throw up at you then, though, is do you want another young player to then develop? Because Beal is, well, let me check my math. I think Beal is 28, 27. What the hell is he?
Beal's so young.
Beal's 26.
No. Yeah, so he's so young.
John Wall is 30. Yeah, he's going to be 30. He's 29 right now. Just turned 29 in September, so next year.
So you got two guys in their prime. I gotcha.
But Wall's coming off a ton of injuries. So what if you just take that pick and then get a guy that's, you know, 26 already?
Drafted like Jordan Nwora? I can't say his last name.
Nwora.
Thank you. From Louisville, who is slaying it right now.
He's projected at 22.
Yeah, he's going to keep climbing. He's playing way too well. So okay, you get an older player, kind of like Rui.
Okay, but let's look at the last guy that went in the lottery from Louisville. Where'd he go?
13. Where was Donovan? Was 11?
11. Okay. He went 11. So you don't really, I mean, the Jazz traded up to get him. So I don't think it's necessary that they need to get a lottery pick. Yeah. They just need to be able to get a guy that they can put in right away to start for them at the three. So whether that be with a trade to get a guy that's already in the league or one of these older draft prospects, that's the biggest thing that you need. So I don't think you need to be lottery for sure. Just stay under a first round pick, which you're going to do, and you'll be fine. Because you can move that for a piece that can then fit your three, or that you can then go out and find and buy a three. Yeah. I don't really think it's necessary to get a lottery pick for them. If they make the playoffs, I'd be happy. Because holy shit, that would give you so much juice.
Yeah.
And that could then even possibly, I don't know what their cap situation is like because it's such a mess with, you know, Beal and Wall's extensions. But if they have any money to move around, then maybe that makes you a little bit more attractive too. If you did that with absolutely nobody and you could sell them as like, you know, Beal and Wall show up to the free agent pitch and be like, you are our final piece. And now we have a starting
next
five.
Next year,
that can
they're going to be walking into the year with 99 mil looks like locked up.
Okay.
How
long did they get Bertans for?
Davis Bertans is only a 1-year deal.
Okay. So that's something that's going to be a little bit iffy because I think he'd be a really nice piece off the bench.
Yeah.
But let's say they're able to get IT for 3 years, $21 million. I don't know if you'd accept that, but like a Lou Will deal. Mm-hmm. I think a Lou was $324 million.
Yeah.
So they're able to get that. Let's say they lock up Bertans, and I think he signed pretty cheaply.
$7 million
this year.
So probably like eight something.
Yeah. So let's say they extend him 3 years for the same contract. Let's say they both give IT $324 million. So you get Bertans, $324 million, IT, $324 million. You got now up to 99 plus 14, so 115, right? 115 there. No, 113
mil. I'm not doing
math. 113 mil. Find a guy that can go out and play the three. And these are guys that we just talked about this, or we're going to talk about this with the Spurs here, that there isn't a ton of massive free agents out there that are like super intriguing. But there are guys that are veterans that have played in the league for a very long time. You could possibly go out and find a three. What if Gordon Hayward declines his option? Tell me that's not a good option. I think that's better than getting a lottery pick.
I don't think Gordon Hayward will re-sign for a low number, and I don't think they have...
No, but I'm not good with the cap, but like...
Yeah, I'd say they're already fucked on the cap.
If they're able to go out and get a Gordon Hayward, I think that's way better than getting a lottery pick.
I guess. You know who's funny who they could sign? You know, Otto Porter.
That's true.
If he's healthy, they never do it. I know they never do that. But no, I just think that when you're paying John Wall 41 mil, Bradley Beal's at 28 next year. Yeah, and that's all your money's in your guard. So I don't know that they're going to be able to go out and swing for the fences on a free agency wing. I think you go in, you go ahead and draft one of the best wings available in this upcoming class, and that's your group. That's your group of guys. That way you're still cost controlled, and because you're basically locked up for the future already. Like between John Wall, Bradley Beal, and then you're set. That's all your money. Sorry. Like the nice thing is Jan Mahimi's coming off the books after this year, which is great.
He's yikes. A $7 million per, right?
$15 million okay,
that's
right
a
now.
Lot of money there.
Yeah, you don't remember how awful that deal was. It's thank God it's coming off.
But $7 million would still be too much for Jan Mahimi.
It would be. So. I mean, shit, it's too much for Cristiano Felicio.
Ricky, we've had a little back and forth here. Mm-hmm. Kind of looped you out. What have you taken away from this?
I just mean, I don't know if there's enough money to go around, mainly because of, like, yeah, the Jan Mahimi money is going to come up. But, like, you overpay, like, I don't want to say overpaid, but we know we've talked about that John Wall deal. It's ballooning. Like, next year, what, 41, you said?
Yeah, it goes from 38 to 41. Yeah. No big deal.
But, yeah, just the contract of, like, how big it was anyways to where I am with Sean, though. I don't think the difference between 15 and even 16, 17, 18 is going to be that huge in the end. Like, and
I just don't think they're going to be good enough to make the playoffs. Like, you guys are like, would you rather make the playoffs or make the lottery? Well, I don't think if they have a choice, you're going to win games. Like, teams don't intentionally lose games too often.
I guess it's just the,
but, you know.
Then my question for you would be, do you see teams like the Magic?
The Magic cannot continue to shoot this poorly from the field. It's a statistical anomaly. Mm-hmm. Like, it will come with time. They will start to shoot better. They're still playing some of the best defense in the NBA. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of the fact their shots aren't falling. That'll get fixed over time. 100%.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I think the Wizards are a fun team. I don't think they're a good team. And that's where they're at.
Yeah. All right. Final thoughts?
With me, it's going to be interesting with the East overall. And eventually, I think we'll hit this. Is I think from everyone right now, Nets down. I don't see a big ballooning with them where it's like, oh, the Nets are really going to get it together. Oh, the Magic are really going to get it together. And they're going to just run away with it. I think it's going to be the top six are solidified. All right, 7-8, probably 8. It's like, wow, a losing record might get into the playoffs into the East.
Yeah, with Karras coming back at some point, I think the Nets will probably be that seventh team that becomes solidified. And I think it's really going to be that 8th seed that is up for grabs. The Pistons, too, like they've been playing like shit, but they have too much talent to not be good. But
the Magic are scoring 101 points a game.
Oh, yeah, they've been bad.
They're the worst team. The worst, but they're also the third to best team for defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like when you look at that, like, it's the complete opposite of the story. Mm-hmm. And guess what? They're 6-8.
Mm-hmm. And defense
is the thing that's more able to replicate. Like it's the easiest thing to do in night in and night out.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that's a team that I think could really flip
the
switch.
Once they start getting a couple shots to fall,
it depends on if they make a move like. We may talk about later with the Spurs and that with DeMar DeRozan or when they get Vucevic back, as I just knocked my water all over the place.
Nice. Good job. I don't think DeRozan's a guy that would fit that team, but we're not talking Magic.
Yep. Yeah.
We'll talk Magic later. If you want a Magic conversation, let us know down in the comments below, but let us know your thoughts, especially Wizards fans. What do you think the expectation should be for the Wizards? I think if you're having fun, it's good basketball. Basketball should be fun. It shouldn't be sad and depressing like last year was. And so
or like the Bulls are
like
this
that.
Year.
Exactly. Love them Bulls.
Gotta plug it.
Tune into Superfans. But let's move into the next topic, and we are going to welcome in our patron, John. We are super excited to have him back. It's been a while, and he is one of our favorite people to talk to each and every month. And you can become a patron like John at patreon.com/mostwildpodcast. But John, you wanted to come on, I think it was last month, we had a bit of scheduling issues, to preview the San Antonio Spurs. And I think even if we did that preview, I don't think we would have expected this. Right now, after 16 games, the Spurs are 5-11. They've currently lost 8 straight. Craig Popovich is calling it a witch hunt, jokingly, before the game. And then they go out and lose to the 76ers, 115-104 yesterday. It is a tough team right now. They're not playing defense. It doesn't look like the Spurs. What is wrong right now in your mind with the San Antonio Spurs?
The number one thing is direction. They need to decide whether they're going to try to make the playoffs to keep the keep the pattern going there, or it's going to be a rebuild year. So they need to figure out what they don't want to do and go for it. Right now, they're trying to do both at the same time. It's not really working out.
Yeah, and I think this was a team that we all thought were going to be playoff teams, and we all did. We look at the predictions that we made preseason. I had them as the 8th seed. Ricky had them at the 8th seed. Dave had them at the 7th seed. We all thought this team was going to be good. I don't think they're this bad. I don't think they're going to be, you know, 14th in the Western Conference this year. But John is right. They really don't have a direction. You have LaMarcus Aldridge. You have DeMar DeRozan on this team. And then they have a lot of young guys. And then some just middling players in there as well. Dave, do you think this is a direction issue right now? Do you think it's something that they need to commit to? Let's go young or let's go old and veteran heavy. What is the problem in your mind right now with the Spurs?
I think the problem is, you know, on paper, what the names are, what the recognition is, where they left off last year. We thought, look, they're going to be adding back DeJounte Murray to this team. They're going to be adding in young talent. We're going to get to see Lonnie Walker with a full offseason healthy and prep for the regular season plus draft picks. Like, everything on paper was like, this team should come back stronger than they were last year. And last year they made it in. So, like, logically, no duh, this team should be in the playoffs. But out of the gates, I think I agree with the fact that it comes down to direction, because I look on the floor and their play style. And yes, as much as you want to harp on Pop for, you know, his old school style of, we're going to work the mid range, we're going to work the low post with the two stars that he does have, I feel like he's using the two best players on his team to try to emphasize, like, hey, this is what they're good at. Let's play through them. The problem is that because they have such a loaded backcourt, they're so backlogged, and they don't have a lot of wing depth, it kind of hurts in the modern NBA. So a lot of the matchups they're going up against, they're getting abused in those kind of matchups when you have to force DeRozan to play the three, and he's not able to keep up size-wise with some of these guys, and they can put some body into him, put some shoulder into him. He struggles a little bit. And DeRozan, I mean, he's not an amazing defender to begin with, but it shows where the NBA is going and perhaps where Greg Popovich and this team's plan has starting to become outdated.
Mm-hmm. Because offensively, they have been playing well. Right now, they're fifth in offensive rating as a team. DeRozan has 22 points a game. Aldridge at 18 points a game. Brent Forbes, 14 points per game. Our boy Rudy Gay, about 12 points per game. But it obviously hasn't accumulated to wins. Ricky, are you kind of in the same line as John and Dave here on what's wrong with the Spurs?
Well, to go off of what John said, I think this needs to be the tank year for the Spurs. I would make that decision right now. And I'm going to go nuclear here. I'm going to make a bold prediction that this is Popovich's last year coaching the Spurs. He gets fired, but I wouldn't be surprised if, let's say, they have a really bad nuclear season, they're a top 10 draft pick, if Popovich goes, you know what, everything going on in my personal life, I'm just going to step away. Like, you know what, this is it. I'm not in this for another rebuild. If this team was making the playoffs, maybe that would be different. And I kind of want to relate this team to what the Grizzlies did, but a little bit differently. We're not on the coaching side, because that was, they fired Fizdale, moved on, but player-wise, they moved on from Marc Gasol and Mike Conley, who were 34 was Gasol, 31 was Mike Conley. Spurs are in a similar situation. You got LaMarcus Aldridge, 34 years old. DeMar DeRozan, who's 30 years old. So it's like, you look at it, in my mind, do the Spurs pull that trigger, which I would, and just do what the Grizzlies did? You know what? We're probably not going to make the playoffs this year because the West is a much deeper conference than it was last year. Mm-hmm. Why not try to trade those guys away, get assets, go full rebuild right now this season?
John, I think when we were talking a little bit before, I don't think you're saying they should rebuild. And I don't think you're calling for, you know, Popovich, or you think Popovich will step away. You don't think they should be rebuilding, though, right? What you think they should be, you know, just moving personnel around and using the right personnel to help this team?
Both. I think they need to develop the young players. I think that Derek White needs to be starting. I start off, they need to have this as a developmental year. Whether you call it developmental rebound, it's not that important to me. But Derek White has a talent. I like to see him get minutes and develop. Brent Forbes is starting right now, which is blocking a lot of time that Derek White could be on the floor. Like you mentioned earlier, as far as like the talent-wise and height-wise and position-wise, they need a bigger, smaller forward. You know, they have DeMar Carroll, but he's up there. I think he's like 33 years old. But they need somebody who can shoot three-pointers at the three position and have DeMar DeRozan play more at the two, which he's more comfortable at. You know, whether it's a, you know, I don't think they should tank, but they have a history of tanking because that's how they got Tim Duncan. But I don't think you should do that. I think they can try to win some games and develop younger players at the same time.
Yeah, right now Damari Carroll's taking less than a shot a game. So even if he's hitting at 35%, he's not making a huge impact. And your idea is 33 years old. I agree with him on DeRozan, too. DeRozan is a two, but even then, he's a guy on a one-year deal that mm-hmm. is likely not going to be there next year, or at least I wouldn't make that move. And there is talks, too, that maybe they would think about moving away from LaMarcus Aldridge. So this could be a year that they just, you know, give up on. And I don't know if Pop is willing to be a part of that or not. I don't know where he is at when it comes to sticking around. So if he did retire, I wouldn't be shocked, but I don't know if he's going to retire mainly because of a rebuilding year. But they do have interesting pieces on this team. Some of them have been brought up. Derek White is one of them. DeJounte Murray coming off an injury is one of them. Lonnie Walker is one of them as well. They had a couple draft picks this year as well that were interesting to me. But Dave, with all this being said, wing depth and a great wing is something that is lacking on this. Do you think this is something that they could possibly then go out and find on the market? And do you think this could be a fixable situation? Because it seems right now that Ricky and John are in the land of, all right, this is probably not the team that's going to be able to make the Western Conference playoffs, but we're only 16 games into the season. So do you think if they were able to go out and find someone that could play the three, that could play it extremely well, be a good 3-and-D player for them, or, you know, be a guy that could fit into the offense, you know, not be a guy that shoots a ton of threes, but have a really good mid-range game mm-hmm. and play defense, do you think that this could be a team that could possibly turn around with DeRozan playing the two and with Aldridge out there? Do you think that if they found that guy that they could turn this skid around?
I think it's hard
to find.
That's
a good question for Dave. Ooh. Dave, the wing expert.
You know me, John. You know me.
There you go.
I mean, like, it would be a big step forward. The problem is there's not a lot of, you know, those guys out there who are on the market. And I think that's the biggest thing is the value for a wing has never been higher right now, especially one who's kind of in that 3-and-D mold. So when you look at this team and, you know, yes, you're likely, if you're going to have to get someone from another team like that, you're going to have to give away some of those young, talented players, maybe potential, you know, mm-hmm. and you mentioned like Lonnie Walker out there. You've got a couple of guards between DeJounte, Derek White, who I think a lot of us were counting on. Oh, this is their backcourt of the future. This is where they're going to go. So if you want to go in for it this year and, you know, on the opposite route from Ricky and say like Pop's here to compete, like we're not going to tank during the end of Pop's career. Let's go and keep winning. So you're going to have to, you know, heap out that young talent. Maybe I know Keldon Johnson was a later pick, but still a good young name. Pair him with someone else on that team to go out and get a wing. I don't know, though. I don't know that's going to instantly fix this team's problems. Mm-hmm. I think the only upside right now is the fact that if you look back at last year, they also struggled, you know, in their first, I want to say, like 25 games. They also had similar numbers, and again, it was their defense. So maybe it's just Pop's slow to get the team going. And again, remember, DeJounte Murray's on a minutes restriction still coming off of his injury, so he's not playing full games. But I think the biggest problem is, I want to put them into the mold of the modern NBA, and they're just not. So like adding a 3-and-D wing makes sense for 29 other, well, not 29, but like mm-hmm. every other team in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Like, does that fix this team? Is that this team's key to success, or is this team held to a different standard because you're trying to force the ball through DeMar DeRozan?
Yeah, through 16 games last year, they were 8-8. And then through 25 games last year, they were 11-4. Never had this long of a losing streak either. Longest losing streak was 3 games. But they weren't, you know, killing it off the gate. Right. You know, they still were under 500 25 games through. But this is, you know, a 5-11 team right now.
And I think the most concerning thing through this losing streak is some of the teams you sprinkle in there. Memphis, that's a team in San Antonio you should be able to beat. Orlando, not playing their best basketball. San Antonio should be able to beat that team. And then, like, I look at Washington, those are just three. Maybe you throw in Portland because Portland hasn't been the Portland that we thought they would be. But, like, that to me looks at this four and it's like Memphis, Washington, and Orlando. Those are like, okay, we should have won those games and it shouldn't even got to 8 games in a row that we lost.
Yeah, and this is a team that I don't know if rebuilding is the right thing for them. If they could go out and get, you know, a wing, I think they will probably definitely look to add a wing to help out their team. Rudy Gay, as much as we love him on this podcast, he's not a modern NBA guy anymore. He can't play defense up to a level that this team needs. And along with that, DeMar DeRozan isn't big enough to be playing the wing, and also obviously he's never been a great defender. So that needs to be something that, you know, needs to be addressed. And you also look at their draft as well. You know, they need to develop some of these young players, but it's also tough too when all 3 of their players that they drafted are in the G League right now, and you have guys like Rudy Gay, Patty Mills taking away spots that these guys could possibly be, you know, taking up on the actual NBA roster. And another concerning thing for me a little bit too is the fact that you look at where they picked Lucas Samanich, right? Am I saying that right?
Close enough. It's been
Samanich.
Yeah, it's been 5 months, so I haven't said that name in a long time. But he was taken 2 picks before Brandon Clark, and I think Brandon Clark would be a great addition to this team. Mm-hmm. He could be possibly being your great wing defender right now, and, you know, obviously he's a great rim runner, so he just adds a lot of different aspects to your offense. And then you could also had another great wing defender, Matisse Thybulle. Are you telling me that Pop couldn't have locked Matisse Thybulle in this defense? Are you saying that if you added Matisse Thybulle to this defense that they wouldn't be 5 points better on their defensive rating? This is one of the best NBA defenders right now, and he's a rookie.
There's
this,
a reason we mocked it over and over and over. It was like, well, what'd you do with Kawhi Leonard? Can he do it again?
Kind of, but Kawhi Leonard was a much better offensive player in college.
But it was let's take someone who's known for his defense and try to teach him to shoot and see what results
or
we get.
Or it's why Nasir Little was drafted to mocked to them as well. And Nasir Little went just, you know, a couple spots behind Lucas Samanich. He was at 19, and Nasir Little was at 25, and that was 4 spots before Keldon Johnson at 29. They could have traded up. So all 3 of their draft picks, Luka, Keldon, and Quindary Weatherspoon, all in the G League right now. So, John, looking back a little bit at the draft, because I know you had your own mock draft, you had your own big board and all that stuff, do you think they made a mistake possibly not going out and getting one of these guys that were available, like a Thybulle, like a Clark, like a Grant Williams possibly, Nasir Little?
No, I think that mocked Samanich to the Spurs. It was like one of my only correct picks in the later of the first round.
Nice.
But I think that what they need at the 3 is somebody who can spread the floor and shoot the 3. You know, it'd be great if they were a 2A player, but somebody like Clark, you know, Clark, DeRozan, and Aldridge, it clogged up the middle too much. They need somebody who can shoot 3s. One thing, Bonelli. Is it Bonelli?
Yeah, Marco Bellinelli.
Yeah,
he fell off this year. He was like their hope to stretch the floor and be a 3-point threat. He's shooting under 30%. That's one reason why the Spurs aren't doing well. And he's also, you know, there's rumors of DeRozan being traded. Now, I think Orlando is reportedly showing some interest. Now, Orlando's offering up Aaron Gordon. I don't know if he can fit with the Spurs. But I've got a quick question. Ricky, mm-hmm. What do you think about DeRozan to Orlando?
I mean, if I'm Orlando, I take that deal.
Gordon to the Celtics and Jaylen Brown to the Spurs.
Ooh, see, I don't think that happens only because I don't think the Celtics move Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, I don't think they move him, especially with a 4-year 115 extension. It seems like they want to keep him there. DeRozan's only 1 year, so I don't think that value matches up. And then Gordon, too, he's kind of the worst one talent-wise out of all of that.
But, I mean, looking at what the other 2 teams, like the Magic, if the Magic are trying to get a trade partner, try to partner up with the Spurs to make a trade, if I'm the Spurs, I go into it, because the one thing that the Magic do have that could probably help the Spurs out is, first off, draft capital. You can get another good pick, because Orlando's not going to be a good team this year, or hasn't been a good team this year. Also, they've got some young guys that you could probably bring over and match up in your system. Like, let's say, I'm not saying he's on the table, but I mean, Aaron Gordon's a big name, but let's say, like, somebody like a Jonathan Isaac, and I'm not saying he's going to be in the deal, but somebody like that, like the what we were saying with Thybulle, of like, hey, Ricky, he's a defensive player, and we can put it in the deal. Say I'm it. Not saying he's going to be in the
no,
deal.
No, I know, but okay. But you're saying players like Jonathan Isaac.
Yes.
There's not many. Jonathan Isaac. There's no 6'11 freaks like
no,
that.
No, I mean, like,
well, I mean, you got
hold on, let's all talk at the same time. John, what were you saying?
There are five unicorns in the league, and Jonathan Isaac is one of them. They're not getting traded.
I mean, maybe a little bit more, but yeah, I agree with you. By the way, I just want to call back to the record piece. I was talking about like rodeo trip wise, like because they're out of town, because of that stretch of games out of town, basically from early November through the start of December, like they struggled there just as badly. It's just a lot of road games.
But
Jonathan Isaac thing's silly.
Sorry, Aaron Gordon, but
I don't think he's moving.
It's the defensive player part. Like, that's why I brought in the Thibault of, like, why we mocked him there. If they have, like, a young player that the Spurs are like, oh, we can mold him. I just used Jonathan Isaac as the example, although I do not think he would be in the deal.
So, I guess my question then goes to, like, do you think it's trade for this year to try to succeed, or do you think that... You know, their drafting seems to be aiming at long-term development for guys, so it seems like they're in no rush to, you know, force a run at the end of Pop's career. I wonder, is this a team where, you know, even as bad as I wanted not to this, like, if they did tank and got one of these top talents from this class, like, would that benefit them much better long-term to land, like, a Wiseman or someone like that and roll with that lineup in the future and just be like, hey... You know, DeRozan got us through a couple of years, and thanks for your services.
See, I don't know. I feel like if DeRozan's not in the plans, I would want to get something for him.
Who?
I would want, even if it's draft picks, even if it's just draft picks, I would rather get that than just letting them walk at the end of the year.
I don't think the Spurs need draft picks. They're like, they have a deep team as far as talent, but they're not deep as far as experience. So I think if they were to get a piece, they need somebody as a veteran or somebody can do something specific that, which meets a need, which is deep three shooting.
But if you get that draft capital, then you can use that to maybe get that veteran that you want and not necessarily have to use your own pick that might be very high this year.
Yeah, but that's in June. They're trying to, you know, I think we should be talking about what they should do this year in the season, especially before the trade deadline.
Yeah, so do you see if these struggles continue, John, do you see them moving away from either LaMarcus or DeRozan?
You know, even they make the playoffs, DeRozan has value and he's not guaranteed. So they should listen to trade offers for DeRozan for a long-term future, especially if there's a player out there that, you know, meets their need, you know, because you need a lot of, you know, like ask Dave, you need wing depth and you need wing elite wing defenders in the West to be competitive.
Yeah, I think the thing too with DeRozan is he's going to be a free agent, and the free agent class
he's got a player op.
Does he really?
Yeah,
I thought he does.
He's got a $27 million year spot rack, calling a $27 million player op.
That's a yikes.
That's my concern. I'm like, well, even if you say he walks at the end of there, he's a 30-year-old shooting guard right now. Do you think he doesn't take $27 million, or do you think he can get a 4-year deal? Like the last one of his prime, you know,
I think he takes the 27. I think the market is changing. There's more talent, so there are going to be less players who are getting max deals.
Well, my thing that I was going to bring up is if you look at the guys that don't have player ops, this is the free agent class. Paul Millsap, Hassan Whiteside, Chandler Parsons, Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka, Danilo Gallinari, Jeff Teague, Derek Favors, Alan Crabb, Biznik Biyombo, Tim Hardaway Jr., Kent Bazemore, Evan Turner, Goran Dragic, Tristan Thompson, Reggie Jackson, Andre Iguodala, Jan Mahimi. Like, those are the Marcus Morris. Those are the guys that are, like, you know, up there that aren't have player options and aren't RFAs.
Yeah.
If you put DeRozan there, he's automatically the best player in that class.
Yep.
So if a team does want to give a max to somebody, I think that could be a reason why he could go out, is get a 4-year max, increase that $27 million to the most possible out there, because if teams have money, they might look to add DeRozan, and he's automatically going to become one of your better offensive players just because he can put up 25 a night. So I think it is possible that he declines it if he looks like he's going to be the best player in this free agent class. Because even then, the guys that do have options, Gordon Hayward, Otto Porter Jr., Drummond, AD does, but I don't know if AD's going to... Well, he's probably going to decline it, but then just get
take
an extension with... Yeah, he's just going to get an extension with the Lakers.
Or could he come to Chicago?
And then Batum. So I don't think that him declining the option is out of the scenario. I just do wonder, though, if they look for a player that is on a one-year deal, that could then just, you know, they flip for DeRozan, then re-sign, because I don't know if DeRozan fits there long-term, so maybe they do just look to get something for him and then also are able to keep that player long term. I think that could be a way that they look. A team that's probably not going to keep that player that they're going to trade for, they flip DeRozan. DeRozan can help that team, and then that person could stay long term with the Spurs. I think that's where they might go.
Interesting.
But it's something that, you know, is obviously going to have to be played out a little bit. Do we think that this team can be a 500 team this year, though, if we look at all of it together? So, John, if you had to bet over under 42 wins for the Spurs this year, where would you go?
Oh, man, I would say over. I think that some of the struggles the Spurs have were just temporary. If they stay healthy, I think they can win 42 games, but no more than 45.
Okay, but you think they should like, one reason that they could start winning more games is if they go younger, bringing in, like, Derek White Jr. and all those players?
No, I think it's about even. I think that this year, 2019-20, I think I'm calling Derek White and Brent Forbes even.
Okay.
I think in the future, Derek White. But the other thing is there's some overlap. You know, Derek White is a talent as well. I think that he could be a trade piece. You know, you want to, what the Spurs needs is a natural, you know, two guard who can shoot three pointers. I mean, look at, you know, Denver has a lot of talent. The guy Beasley playing the two, he's not getting any minutes.
It's true.
You know, if Denver says, well, we want to free up Murray and have him be like a 2019 Booker from the Suns, mm-hmm. rather than a 2018 Booker from the Suns, we need a playmaker at the point. So Derek White could be an option, and then, can, you know, Beasley can go on to the San Antonio Spurs.
That'd be an interesting
kind
move.
Free
yeah.
up that offense.
Yeah.
You know, well, I think Derek White is more talented than Beasley, but, you know, Denver will have to throw in some, you know, other pieces.
Yeah, and Derek White, too, we saw him last year in the playoffs. He was able to make a huge impact for them, and he is a very good, you know, he's a pretty decent passer, so I would wonder, too, if they could play him and DeJounte Murray next to each other and figure that situation out, because I do think White has shown himself to be a better one than a two, and I think Murray is just pretty, you know, flexible at both guard positions. Dave, over under 42.
But Derek White's a half-decent spot-up shooter.
He is. He is. Dave, over under 42 wins for the Spurs.
I want to go push. I think they're going to land on the dot on 42. Okay. It just feels like this team, they're going to get it together defensively at some point. Like, I don't know. You know, they're never going to be able to be like a top tier defensive team because of the lack of size and versatility. But they do have great individual performers. And I think that's going to outweigh some things once they get that chemistry going throughout the season. But right now, it just they look a little disorganized on defense. I think it's just going to take a little bit more time to sync things up. And once DeJounte Murray starts getting, you know, 30 minutes a night, things will also help shore up that one guard spot.
Ricky, over under 42 wins.
I'm going to go under, not by much. They will be a top 10 pick in the NBA draft. They'll be like 35 to 37 wins and be a top 10 team.
How good Maybe do you like, think the NBA is going to be?
What?
How good do you think the NBA is going to be?
Last year, what was the number 10 team?
It was 36 for the T-Wolves.
So okay.
So right. That's on base.
I expect the number to be lower. My bad on that. Every team's just been tanking, so I thought 36 was too many.
I mean,
too
the
many
Wizards
wins.
Had 32 last year.
Did they really?
Mm-hmm.
The fuck? You did have five teams underneath 30 wins, but yeah, they did have 32 wins. All right, I will say.
According to Ricky, they had the steal of the draft.
They did, Rui.
Yeah,
he's playing really good. Anyway,
we'll talk about him. We already did talk about him.
Yeah,
and then finally, I would say that they're going to be. I'll go under two. I think they'll probably be in the king spot last year, where they'll be the ninth seed ish and win 39 games or so. And just missed the playoffs. But I just don't think this team has enough wing talent, and this is exactly what the NBA's been, you know, for the past couple of years, is you need elite wing talent if you are going to dominate the NBA. And if you're going to be this good and go up against, you know, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, and if you're going to go up against LeBron James, and if you're going to go up against Luka Doncic, you need guys to be able to stop elite wings, and I don't think they have that right now, and I think it's going to kill them in a lot of matchups. And even when they don't, I mean, right now they're being taken advantage of because their guards aren't healthy, or they're possibly not playing the right ones, like we've talked about this through this segment. But let us know what you think down in the comments below. Do you think this team's going to be over or under 42 wins this season? What do you think is wrong with the Spurs? Do you think it's something that we completely missed out on? Let us know down in the comments below.
Again, we want to thank John for coming on to the podcast and supporting us on patreon.com/mostvaluablepodcast, where you could also support us if you want to be on the podcast at the gold tier. But now it is time for our favorite weekly segment, where we give our praise and love to the soggiest of shooters, the dampest of dudes, the moistest of men. These are our wet boys, the guys that absolutely popped off over the past week, guys that had historic performances, incredible moments, life-changing performances. These are our wet boys. We're going to go around the table and talk about pretty much our players of the week. Ricky, start us off.
Yeah, you know, I'm giving it to it. I don't think I've ever given a wet boy to a player from this team unless there was their main player. I might have given him one, but I can't remember. But I'm going Rudy Gobert, averaging a double-double this week, 16 rebounds, and also doing it on the defensive end because, duh, he's Rudy Gobert. Averaging 4 blocks per game, almost 5 per game. Got to give the Utah Jazz some love that I don't know if I've given Don Mitch a wet boy, but if not, I've given the Utah Jazz their first wet boy from me.
Well, now we're going to have to check. That I've given. Now we're going to have to check if you're saying that.
I was going
to
say, I don't know if I've ever given.
You did not last year. You did not in the playoffs. And yeah, you never have.
Okay.
You
never have. So this is my first Jazz wet boy.
This is your first okay. Jazz wet boy. I might honestly be the first Jazz wet. No, Joe Ingles got one from Dave.
Dave.
Shocker.
Jumping Joe.
It was a great story week for him.
Wasn't it the playoffs?
Yeah. That was playoffs. It was playoffs.
Yeah, it was the playoffs. Yeah,
that's it. We didn't give any other wet boys out to the Jazz.
He deserved it.
So yeah, just one jazzy and wet boy.
A jazzy and wet boy.
And that was yep. Joe Ingles. All right, now Rudy Gobert in that club.
Joins the club. I love it.
Dave, give us your wet boy.
Taking the best player in basketball right now, Luka Doncic.
Oh, stop it.
The guy's going out there dropping a 30-point triple-double, not even playing 30 minutes a game. Like he's Luka. I'm sorry. Like, this kid is so good at basketball.
MVP this year, yes or no?
I mean, there's a very good chance. I don't think he can keep up this rate, but like, if he does, shit.
Because like that to me would
be 20 year old. He can't legally drink in this country.
Like you're telling me, that's what I'm getting like hyped for is like a second year player, and I know technically not a true second year because he was playing professionally, but a second year player in this league winning the MVP over James Harden, over LeBron James.
That'd be insane. Love it. Absolutely insane. It's unlikely, but I'm going to keep rooting for him as long as he keeps doing this. Even if he does, I'm still going to keep rooting for him because I love Luka Doncic.
How much fun he has on the bench with JJ Barea.
Dude, the JJ Barea fake back in the game shit was hilarious. The Mavs team's fun. Mm-hmm. They're fun. They're absolutely blowing people out at times. I think he had like a plus like 42 or something. Like they've had just insane games back-to-back this week, so... Credit to him, Luka. You my boy.
And
happy.
I believe this is his fifth wet boy. Second this year, but his fifth all-time as well. So he is climbing up the ranks. Ricky gave him his first back on November 10th. Then I gave him one on January 12th. Then Ricky came back on February 1st and gave him one. And I think that was it. And then he's had two this year. So he's now got 5 all-time. And I don't think we have an all-time wet boy.
It's James Harden.
Obviously he's at 14. But I don't know if we have an all-time like leader. LeBron James had 4 last year, so we'll see where he's rising up.
Isn't James Harden the all-time leading wet boy?
Because he just so said that. Do you guys listen to he this pot? Like,
no, I do. I do. That's why I'm confused that when you said, "Do we have an all-time leader?" And I was
like an all-time leaderboard.
Oh no,
that's what I mean.
I created a tab, but I haven't
filled it in yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's something that we got to figure out.
It's pretty incredible.
But I know that, James Harden has 14, so he's not, Luka's not that close.
So a little behind the scenes here. Sean's been withholding his wet boy from us. Mm-hmm. We don't know what he's about to drop in the other side of this table.
If it's something
do you think it's going to be a wild card? Do you think it's someone
outside? It's going to be like Duncan Robinson, like that.
No.
It's going to be Naz Reid.
It's not Naz Reid.
No G League wet boys.
I know. I'm not Ricky giving him a college player, which he's won.
16 over a 1. That was historic.
No,
all right, Sean, let's hear it.
It's not that. And I mean, you guys need to realize that when we talk about wet boys, we talk about them with grace. We talk about them with honor, style. We talk about people that really change lives and really make an impact on the NBA. And
it's a nobody.
This person has done something historical. This person has done something that we didn't believe.
Oh.
This is like man walking on the moon.
Okay.
Ben Simmons hit his first three, everybody, and he is a wet boy. 100% from three, the first time we could ever say that in his career. Ben Simmons, well, the Sixers have won three straight games. That's another reason why.
How much is Jake Payne?
Jake and Sean are the same person.
Yeah. He's not.
Like, yeah. They are literally the same people.
He absolutely deserves it.
This is his worst year.
But we're talking about three games here, and this is also his best year shooting from three. So, therefore, you're wrong. 100% from three this year, 55% from the field, 13 points per game, 12 assists, and 7 boards per game, and they've won three straight. So, that hits every mark for me. Are you winning games? Yes. Have you done something historical? Yes. No one thought Ben Simmons could do that.
Is it historical or is it just an, oh my God, he hit a three?
Everyone remembers their first three, especially after you've been clowned for 4 years and not shooting them. I mean, Jesus. And it was also buttery. Like, that was a sweet shot. Like, it was perfect. Like, that was such a good, that was a great stroke.
Cool. He's got not
a
do good it again.
Shot. That's fine.
Doing the playoffs.
I'm cool with it, but he at least did it. He at least did it. Now we're not going to see another one for another 3 years, but still, it was like seeing Halley's Comet. It was awesome. Are you not going to remember the first time you saw a comet, Dave?
No, because I don't.
You've just never seen a comet. Don't. So the first next time you see a comet, you'll be like, whoa, that's like Ben Simmons' three. I was also a bad voice crack.
Whoa.
Why is it so bad?
It's not bad. It's just it's not. You built it up too high.
Man walk on moon, high. Ben Simmons' three.
Yeah, they're not the same.
I mean, if you're Jake or you're from the city of Philadelphia, maybe.
Yeah.
But like, sorry, Sean, this is...
Hold on. When did they start the space program? When was NASA founded?
Oh, I'll look it up. Yeah,
okay. That's an easy Google, man. I'm not fucking Google. Okay.
Trying to get me to do your Wikipedia look. Hey, don't say that. My phone might turn on.
Hold on. Let's see. So NASA was founded. Oh, was it really 19? No. It was formed 1958.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. July 29, 1958. And then the moon landing. How did it take longer to land for them to figure out how to land on the moon? No, it took about like 10 years. All right, so it took them 10 years to land on the moon, and it took Ben Simmons 3 years to figure out how to shoot a three. So, I mean, maybe Ben Simmons is a little bit rapider than a pace. Maybe this is like them circling the fucking Earth or whatever. But yeah, shout out Ben Simmons. 13 points per game, 12 assists, 7 boards, and you hit your first three. And it was a buttery shot. It was a good shot, and now he's a soggy shooter. That was pretty damn nice.
Big yikes.
All right. Anyways, let's go into our fantasy update. Ricky, you got to pull it up?
I do have it pulled up.
Nice. Give us the rundown. I like you doing it. Yeah. I sucked at it last year. You can take it. You're another fantasy guy. Congratulations.
So we are seventh. Brad Stevens Army, TJ McConnell Fan Club, which is Jake, King E, Tom Katz, Sam Kim, and then Chef What You Want are ahead of us. We're really good at free throw percentage, really good at blocks, really good at points. We are duty at field, our free throw percentage we're good at. We're duty at field goal percentage, and we're duty at rebounds. We're about what? There are two teams less than us in field goal percentage, and
oh, you
one.
You burped?
Yeah.
I thought we were going to have a fart gate on us.
You got to look at the raised shoulders.
We're the Senators farting. Yeah, I thought we were going to have another one of those. Or Mark.
Hey, let me cough to try to cover that up.
Or Mike
Kellerman.
or Mike Francesa farting on air. That was great, too. That was the best because they wrote a story on it, and then they released it, and they're like, Mike, you were in the New York Post, and he's like, I didn't fart. So fun.
So we're really bad at field goal percentage and rebounds. Like, rebounds, we are atrocious. There's only one. I think it's Super Hippo, Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Kyle's the only one worse than us in rebounds. So that's where we need to improve, obviously.
Get better, team. The fuck's wrong with you? You guys suck.
Well, we can pick players
up. Fantastic. All right, well, who should we pick up?
Dave and I were literally doing this, like, on Discord the other night of, like, who we could pick up. And the leading rebounders right now are Kevon Looney's got 9, but he's out. You got, I always say his name wrong, Daniel Theis.
I think it's Theis.
He's got 7.4.
He's
and
the
he's shooting,
German kid, right?
Yeah, and he's shooting 46% from the field,
which
but
is
he
awful.
Only averages. Yeah, but it's better than our team. That's the thing. You can't think of it like that. You got to think: is it better than our percentage? Because if it's better than our percentage, it'll bring our percentage up.
Doing math.
Jermichael Green, 7 rebounds a game, but he's shooting 40% from the field. And then after that, JaVale McGee has 6. Batum has about 5.8. Rondé Hollis-Jefferson.
Awful.
Has about 5.7, but he's shooting 57% from the field, which would help both of those go up.
Should we just drop Michael Porter Jr.?
I've been waiting all season for this.
That's what Dave said last week.
Let's drop him. Because, I mean, he's just not going to get playing time. Anyone who's playing minutes, really. I mean, that's the thing. If
let's
playing,
try Hollis Jefferson.
He's
playing 20 minutes a game.
I don't care.
He's better garbage. Better field goal percentage, better rebounds, garbage. Which would bring those two up.
Garbage.
JaVale McGee.
What about Royce?
Royce O'Neal?
Yeah. 5 boards a game, 51% from the field.
Yeah, but if we're doing the 50% from the field, I would rather take Hollis Jefferson because he's getting a board more a game. He's getting a board more a game and four more points a game. Like Royce O'Neal's 5.9 could bring us down.
I don't trust Rondé.
JaVale.
All right, we'll pick up JaVale.
Yeah, I don't trust Rondé Hollis Jefferson.
And we're dropping Michael Porter?
Yeah. Cool. Have fun. That's chum in the waters right there. That's going to be an easy pickup for somebody.
What, Michael Porter Jr.?
Yeah.
Yeah. People are you want to read off his cumulative stats for the season, Sean?
Who, Michael Porter Jr.?
Yeah. Let people know what kind of tantalizing player he is right now.
No, I mean, he's been good. Like, he's looked good in...
limited minutes.
In the minutes he's played, but they're limiting his minutes because they don't want to, like, you know, him to get injured again. But, yeah, he has 35 points, 23 boards, 3 assists, 3 blocks, 12 personal fouls, 6 turnovers, 2 of 9 from 3, 14 of 32 from the field, 5 of 8. I think, I mean, it's tough for him to get into a rhythm, but, I mean, he hasn't looked bad. He looks physically good out there. I just think it's, you know, they're putting him into a system. Yeah. It's going to take a little bit for him to learn the system. I think that's what Mike Malone said. So I wouldn't be shocked if, like, February he's getting a lot more minutes, but right now they're just easing him into it. I don't think he's looked bad, though. I mean, per 100 possessions, I mean, would be scoring 29 or 20 points per game. So I don't think he's been bad. But he's not helping our fantasy team.
Yeah.
And this isn't a fantasy, dynasty fantasy league. So there's no point in having him on our team. But that's going to do it.
Hopefully we're, maybe 4 weeks away from seeing Vic come back and play some NBA minutes. I'm hoping the other
is
side
it that
of,
long? I thought it was closer than that.
He's doing a little bit of practicing, a little 5-on-5-ing, with the G Leaguers.
Took part in a full scrimmage Thursday.
Yeah. But I think,
it wasn't controlled and Oladipo wasn't subbed out. Remains out concrete turntable. Hope is it'll be ready in December or January.
Yeah. I figure
who returns first, Otto Porter Jr. or Victor Oladipo? I'd say Vic.
I'd say, isn't Otto Porter 2 weeks?
No, there's no timetable.
Yeah.
No. They said it's just weeks.
Yeah, I'm going to hope Vic's back by December. I'm going Christmas. Give me a Christmas gift.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have a Christmas game? That'd be great if the Pacers did have one.
Do you want to bring him back on Christmas? Because what if he has a dud?
I don't care. It's awesome. Christmas games are they're one of my favorite games of the year.
Really? Especially when they started the season.
Oh my god, that was the best
lockout year?
The best start of an NBA season.
Game.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
They do have a tough stretch, so I would be. I think honestly,
we don't have a Christmas game.
Bring him back on the 13th if he's ready. You got the Hawks, then the Hornets, then you play the Lakers, and then the Kings, and then the Bucks, Raptors, Heat.
Whoo!
So
that's on defense.
And then the Sixers on the 31st.
So they got a tough
stretch in that range.
So January.
Yeah. So bring him back in December and
let him warm up to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why you have him before those games start ramping up.
Yeah.
All right. That's gonna do it though. But let's move into the final topic, and we'll be going to talk about some massive changes that could be hitting the NBA, mainly because of Adam Silver's driving agenda that he wants to be more like the European Soccer League. So let's talk about this. It's something that could be absolutely, you know, changing just history of NBA because the NBA could just be totally different. We could see a shortening of schedules. We could see a changing of champions as well, the way that that's figured out. But or we could see new champions added, I guess. We'll talk about it in this whole thing. But if you want to read the full story, go to ESPN.com. Woj and Zach Lowe wrote this up today. The NBA is engaged in serious discussions with the NBA Basketball Players Association and broadcast partners on sweeping dramatic changes to the league calendar that would include a reseeding of the 4 conference finalists, a 30-team in-season tournament, and postseason play-in, league sources told ESPN. These scenarios would come with the shortening of the regular season to a minimum of 78
games. Discussions are progressing with hopes of bringing a vote to the April meeting of the league's board of governors that would introduce some, if not all, of these proposals into the NBA's 75th anniversary season in 2021-2022, league sources says. The NBA still has work to do coordinating with the constituents on the myriad implications involving the proposed changes. We will get into the changes like reseeding the tournament and everything else in a little bit, but first initial thoughts when I say all of that, what do you think?
Yes, so, the season needs to be shorter. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah.
Is that enough, though, 78 games?
No, it feels like nothing. Like, okay. Oh, three games, going. Boo-hoo. Keep going down.
I think the season at, you know, 60 games, somewhere just around.
We'd see Kawhi every game.
60 games would be pretty great. You know, I get the history of the game, whatever. We're not as big of historians as baseball. I feel like baseball is legend and lore and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, trying to change a 162-game season is impossible, even though it's such a fucking waste of time.
60 games would also kill load management.
Yes, I mean, you could space out. The whole point is to space out games so players feel like they have enough time for their bias to recover in between games. And I think that would achieve that. I think 78 is like, we're just floating on a number, and
so
let's see.
That seems to be the point, but that seems to be the biggest thing that you guys are capturing onto. Not the in-season tournament, not the reseeding.
That stuff I figured like we'll get into. My number one is the
Let's hit something we all agree on. Well, do you agree? Short season better?
A shorter season's better, but 78 isn't enough. But here's the reason why it's 78, and let's get into that part then. In the proposals that include the adoption of in-season tournaments and postseason play-in, the traditional regular season schedule would be reduced from 82, with most teams scheduled to play 78 or 79 games. There's a small possibility of a team playing a maximum of 83 games based on possible tournament and play-in scenarios, league sources said. For the in-season tournament, the NBA is focused on 30-team participation that begins with the divisional group stage of scheduled regular season games. So I want to clarify that. The regular season would be shortened to then add in the tournament play and
which
the play-in
stuff.
Which
adds an extra game potentially for one
team
or two teams.
The schedule actually wouldn't be shortened. So it would be shortened, the regular season as we know it, but then the addition of the tournament and stuff then would change things. So hearing that, then do you think that's the biggest change then is the regular season?
It's not the biggest change. I just, if you're going to make a change, I feel like the one I've been always, because the best season that I remember watching in basketball in my recent history was the lockout season. It was an amazing season. You start on Christmas Day. Like, I feel like that could almost be how the NBA should do it is we're going to start with a bang on Christmas because you think about it. By that time, the NFL season has already progressed. You don't have to deal with the baseball playoffs that kind of overlap with the beginning of the season right now. College football is pretty much dead in December. We're just waiting for that three playoff games in January between the New Year's Eve day and the playoff games to where start with a bang on Christmas, play the season out like you did in the lockout.
Mm-hmm. You need more spacing. You can't start it on Christmas. The whole point of the shortened season is to space out the game. And with that shortened season, we did all love it, but it was still, you had back-to-backs. You had, the four games in 5 nights or 4 games in 6 nights, like bullshit. So I think that...
Then why not have it go further than June?
Here, let's get into this part because this is the actual tournament, and they get they hit all this part. Woj and Lodo.
Yeah. Nice.
For the in-season tournament, the NBA is focused on 30-team participation that begins with a divisional group stage of scheduled regular season games. Those pre-knockout round games would be a part of the regular season schedule. 6 division winners, based on home and road records in the group stage, and the 2 teams with the next best records would advance to single elimination knockout round. League sources said. Those teams could potentially compete in the quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals. Proposals exist that would compensate players and coaches for advancing and winning the tournament, league sources said. Even with possible passage, the NBA has no illusions that it will get the entire league to make an immediate enthusiastic commitment to the importance of competing for an in-season tournament championship, but it does believe that it would come with time and tradition. The NBA and NBPA are finding common ground on a post-Thanksgiving tournament window that would extend into mid-December, league sources said. Months ago, the NBA proposed a late February-January tournament, Ricky, that you were talking about, that would accumulate with a Final Four during All-Star Weekend, sources said. And that idea faded fast. Both the union and team execs expressed concerns over the whole All-Star break. They don't want to, you know, impede on that. Teams were concerned that roster turnover also at early February trade deadline and ensuing buyout waiver window would compromise the integrity of tournament. So, like, teams just buying, like, you know, Carmelo Anthony and then bringing him in. Which I don't know would help you win a tournament, but you guys get what the point I'm trying to say. As for timing, there was uncertainty about whether holding the tournament in January would risk losing viewership and media attention to the NFL playoffs. Running into March would mean competing with college basketball. The post-Thanksgiving window gives the NBA the chance to compete only with conference bowl champions and less consequential early bowl games like, you know, the Popeye's Chicken
Bahamas Bowl.
Oh, the Bahamas Bowl. The NBA has been reluctant to shoehorn tournament games onto Christmas Day schedule. The league and its network partners, included ESPN and ABC, wants to make sure every Christmas game features elite teams and franchises from the biggest market. So it's pretty ridiculous. There's even more stuff that goes into the actual tournament then. But we can get into the actual tournament part the way that it's laid out if you guys want. But that's at least the timing stuff. So they're looking Thanksgiving. I think this is just a mess. Does this matter?
No. Like, I mean, what's the grand prize of it all? Like, do I get a
what
guaranteed?
What does it all mean, Basil?
Do I get a guaranteed, like, top four seed in the playoffs or something? Like, you know, I saw that tossed around.
What if you get a guaranteed lottery pick?
Oh, hang on. That's a game changer.
Winner of the tournament gets a guaranteed lottery pick. Or
that feels like an imbalance.
No. Or
throwing out there.
What about this? You don't get a guaranteed lottery pick. You get an odds of, and this could combat, does it combat taking or feed into it? You get a ping pong ball with this probability thrown into the pot. So even if you're a playoff team and win, hey, we got a chance to get a top four pick now because we're getting a little bit of a probability. It may be the same as like a 14-15 seed.
Yeah, but I mean, like, what happens when like the Clippers like get a fucking lottery pick? Like,
yeah, the NBA gives it to them, and then because it's rigged.
Does that seem fair?
Well, it's not fair anyways, Dave. It's rigged.
I mean, it's been rigged in specific years, but like, I still think that if you have the NBA give. Again, it's like the Warriors are going to be this year. They're going to get a top lottery pick. They're going to come back with two All-Stars at least, maybe three if they decide to keep D'Lo. Like, it's just disgusting. So I don't know if I like the lottery pick idea, but I do think there needs to be some incentive. Like a midseason tournament sounds great and all, but like, meh. That doesn't, I don't know. I'm not a fan of it. I think the coordination and the games, like all that might be too much work for not enough payoff. I like the idea of tournaments, though, normally. Yeah. But, like, the NBA just
do you think it's just as simple
enough
to do what the NHL did when they, of course, theirs was the actual All-Star game they revamped and did that tournament instead of just having the one All-Star game? Could it be something as easy as, hey, the winning team gets more money?
That's why.
People like money, right?
I guess. I think that's just the All-Star game, though. So I don't know if that matters.
No, but like this tournament, you could say the
NBA
winner of the tournament
broke like NHL
that team gets more money or gets
that's
extra check.
Because there's less risk, too. Like, if you're not in the NBA, you pretty much just suck. Or something tragic happened. You know? Like, that's it. Like, if you're not making the league year in, year out, like, I mean, you could be a guy that's on the bench. Like, I mean, Jody Meeks is still around. Like, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Like, you don't have to be a stud to be around. And Jody Meeks would absolutely roast me in a basketball game. I don't want to say that. I don't know. I just find, like, tournaments are interesting, but they're interesting when it actually means, like, you're going to win the championship.
Right.
So, like, I would say, like, shorten the season and then just put all 30 teams in the fucking playoffs. Like, and just have 1 through 30.
But then
why not?
What does the season even mean?
Seeding. The whole season's just for seeding.
So just make it, we know that the March Madness playout works. So you can get expansion, which the NBA would fucking love. Put it to 32, right? Would 32 be enough? Yeah. 32 and then 8, and then 4 brackets of 8.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up. I already did this. It's 2.
Yeah. So, yeah, you expand it to 2. You get Seattle in. You get another team. Las Vegas, whoever you want to do.
Shift teams over.
And then, boom, there you go. You get a March Madness-style tournament to end the season.
But,
and that would then eclipse, you know, because there's nothing in June that's going to take you out and beat you. Right. Or you can go all the way. You could go, like, right after the actual national championship game.
I don't know. June baseball, man. Pretty exciting. Yeah.
My problem with that is, at what point do you do series? Because you know in basketball, the one thing
series
I like
would happen. I would probably say once you get down to 8 teams. So the Elite Eight becomes series because that would be, or no.
Because I hate, like, I hate and love the fact that basketball, you actually usually have the best team win because you have a full series. If you can't win a best of series, you're not the better team. In college basketball, you have those moments. And they may not be the best team, but they had the string of moments that took them there.
Well, I mean, you could... I don't know how... Then I'm figuring out length, but maybe you just do best of five then? Could you do best of five, best of five?
What if we go back to best of three, best of five, best of seven?
Seven, right? Because how many games... How many series would there actually be then? Because it'd be one versus eight, five versus four, one versus two, if just all... I'm just doing the math of best seeds advancing. And then be five series, right?
Round one is 1 versus 30, right?
Yeah. 1 versus 32.
Yeah, 32. I'm sorry.
It'd be 1 versus 8 in the actual bracket.
Oh, okay.
Or unless you want to do 1 through 32.
Just solid two sides.
Yeah. So, but then that would be 1 in 16.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure it out. Like, I think you could do best of five, 7, 7, 7.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I'd want to keep a series in there at least because I hate the fluky one game shit.
Mm-hmm. Here's the play-in proposal, too. This is for the actual playoffs because we're kind of iffy on the in-season tournament.
Yeah. Does it intrigue you at all? I'm not sold on it. I think there's, without a value attached to it, doesn't do anything for me.
Ricky, sold on it? Would you watch it?
The play into the playoffs?
No, the tournament?
No, I haven't even explained the play-in yet. The tournament, I think, is just, it's, and here's the other thing we haven't brought up is if you do have the tournament, it's not going to be what you expect it in your head. Kawhi's not playing. Paul George ain't playing. Like, all these players will be like,
regular season.
Like, fuck it. Like, why should I play? Like,
no, aren't these regular season games to play into the tournament? Wasn't it regular season games to play into the tournament?
But I'm talking about, like, not the divisional round. I'm talking about when they get to the semifinal and final one that they want to put over Thanksgiving weekend. They're still like, you're still going to combat that if it's a tournament of like your star players may not be playing in that game because they're like, you know what? I don't want to play 83 games. I'm going to take this one off.
Well, no. So the in-season tournament, that would count towards a regular season game. So like the in-season tournament includes regular season games. Yes,
but the player like Kawhi Leonard is not going to go, man, I really got to play this game. It's a tournament game.
Oh no! I don't disagree with that.
Like we're expecting it to be like, man, we're gonna get the best matchups. Yeah. It's like no, like it doesn't guarantee that the players are gonna play.
Like we said, it's a three game shortening of the season, so that's not enough for Kawhi Leonard or you know someone that is trying to look like that. That's not enough. So yeah, no, you're absolutely right on that. You know, they might be like, all right, you can't like they might do the thing where it's a primetime game, so you can't like set out like the quarterfinals, semifinals, or final games of a tournament. They might do that, and then you get fined. But yeah, no, I the first couple rounds he might not play.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, like I guess then you would have to then just go to. It's I don't know how it would work because then like you'd have to it's a tournament, but then our team's also playing just regular season games during this.
So from what it sounds like to me is that the divisional stuff would be just your regular season games versus the division, and then based off of that record. They would decide who would be the quarterfinal teams to be in the single season elimination game and they would sketch. Like, and that's the thing, what they're going to play those first games early in the year. And then, all right, these games get scheduled over Thanksgiving. It's like, so we're not going to know the exact schedule for this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is this going to be a flex thing where things move? Because you can't pre-predict who's going to play each other in the quarterfinals, semifinals. And finals.
Yeah.
It's the point of a tournament.
Yep.
I don't know. But here's the play-in proposal, because the in-season thing just seems stupid to me.
Yeah.
Just absolutely stupid. Play-in proposal is 2 4-team tournaments featuring the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th seeds in each conference. The 7th seed would host the 8th seed, with the winner of that single game earning the 7th spot, league sources say. The 9th seed would host the 10th seed, with the winner of that facing the loser of the 7-8 matchup for the final playoff spot. So...
Dumb.
So if I'm the 8th seed and I lose, I'm out of the playoffs and I have a better
record. You have to lose two games in a row. You have to lose
twice.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So here, listen to this again.
Yeah,
it's stupid. The 7th seed would host the 8th seed, which makes sense in my mind.
Yes.
And the winner of that would get the 7th spot.
It's still
stupid. The 9th seed would host the 10th seed, and the winner of that game would then face the loser of the 7-8. So the 8th spot
could lose their spot if they have to lose two games.
They're trying to cash in on the baseball tiebreaker shit at the end of the year.
The wild card game, which is amazing.
That's the problem. They want to do that. But in basketball, I feel like there's just usually a level of difference between the quality of the eighth seed and the ninth seed or the 10th seed.
And you want to know the reason they want to do this? The West.
Yeah.
The West right now. You know what you do then? You make the ninth seed and the eighth seed play each other.
But the problem is these wouldn't even happen like right away, right? It would be
2021. So after next season.
Yeah, so you got be implemented. Next season, then the following season. Yeah. That's quite a bit down the road.
Here's what the matchups would be. Would
probably
you be
39.
Yeah.
Would you be interested in these matchups? Mm-hmm. Brooklyn versus Orlando decide who the seventh seed is.
So Brooklyn wins.
Versus, you don't know that. Versus,
are we talking right now?
Yeah, right now. Okay. This is the right now standings.
Yeah.
Brooklyn versus Orlando to decide who the seventh seed would be.
And then Washington.
And then Charlotte versus Washington. Yeah. And then loser of that would a winner of that would face Brooklyn or Orlando, depending who. I don't care about those games.
No, I don't either.
Why does that matter? And I don't want to see the Magic who can't score, then the garbage Wizards who can't defend.
What would the West be though? I think the West is Minnesota
versus Phoenix.
Yeah.
And the Kings versus the Pelicans. And then you'd have Minnesota versus Suns for the seventh seed, and then the Suns of the T-Wolves versus the winner of the Kings versus the Pelicans.
More enticing than the East. I think this one is, I like watching the Suns play,
but like, do I really want to see the Pelicans, who have been so bad throughout this entire season, get a shot in the playoffs?
And that's the part,
the Suns and T-Wolves are deserving. The Kings and Pelicans, we've talked about being disappointed already this year.
And I mean, I think it's just, when I saw that, I was like, oh, it's the league trying to combat that. There may be a team like the Kings last year where it was like, oh, they were so close, and how stacked the West is. That's why they're going to do this. I think that the change that the league needs to make is super easy, barely an inconvenience, and it doesn't involve a single tournament. This is what I would do. I'm going to lay it out for you guys.
First, we have the same idea. I already know it, and you have to start talking.
Before you do that, then, can I quick drop in a point of reference? Go ahead. Last year, had this been in place, the Clippers were a 48-34 team at the 8th seed. Mm-hmm. The 9th seed was the Kings at 39-43.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that? Like,
and what if one of those teams, like,
and the Lakers were 37-45 at the 10th. So,
and what if the Clippers get injured? Like, what if the Clippers have an injury?
That's what I'm saying. Like, that drop off is massive.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, they're playing a pointless game that they deserve a playoff spot, and then what if like Lou Williams gets injured in that game, and then they don't have him for the playoffs?
That's what I have a problem with. Yeah. Is they've earned their right to be in the playoffs because of the entire season. If there's that much of a gap between them, God no. 39-48. Huge jump.
And I've done this with you guys. I almost knocked my water over again. I'm talking with my hands too much. But I've mapped this out. We did it after we did the relocation thing with Sam.
Yep.
And I thought about it even more. I think what the NBA could do that could work for them is kind of what hockey's doing. And in order to do that, first they need to add two teams. Seattle and Las Vegas make the most sense to me based off of just how I had the divisions. I'm not going to go through all the divisions. Just know that there's four of them, two in the West, two in the East. Then how you do the playoffs is the top three teams from each division get in, and then there's two wildcard teams. So two teams from the West, two from the East, doesn't matter what division you're in. And you just seed them accordingly, 1-8. The other thing I would love to see in the playoffs, if you're going to make a change, is reseeding teams. But in the NBA, I think about, do you necessarily have to do that? Because most of the time, it's 1-4. Like, how many times have we had it where...
Yeah, reseeding doesn't matter. The thing that, to me, I would like to see is the best 16 NBA teams make it instead of the best 8 from a conference and the best 8 from the East and West. That was something that I would care more about.
So if they do that and then they do this play-in at the end, I think then I might be interested.
Yeah, so then let's just go to last year for that. Yeah. If they took the top 16 teams. And let's say, we do... So that would be the 2019... No. It'd be the 17 and 18 teams. So it would be the Clippers and Magic. No, here we go. All right. So it'd be the Nets and the Pistons taking on each other versus the Hornets and the Kings. And the winner of that faces... Yeah, it really doesn't entice me anymore.
Well, and
I just think it allows for a better variance.
Like, no, I got you. But those, at least record wise, like, yeah, those would be the bottom teams. Those would be the, you know, the 15-16 mm-hmm. versus the 17-18.
Yep.
The last thing though I was going to say though, and this goes into what Dave was saying earlier, with the 32 teams, mm-hmm. you could then do it where everyone would play four games against their division. That's a total of 28 games. They would play two games against the other division of their conference, 16 games, and then one game against the entire, like, the East would play one game against every other team in the West. Mm-hmm. The math comes out to 60.
Can I put this out there?
Yeah.
It seems like they want to make divisions matter, right?
Yes, because it used to matter, and then they got rid of them.
It feels like that. Well, I don't care about divisions. Mm-hmm. I don't think it matters, but it feels like they want divisions to matter.
Yes.
So why don't you do this? Your idea, kind of. Mm-hmm. Two teams from each division make it, and then the two teams with the best record that didn't make it get in, right? So this is what it would look like
so that
for
would
last
mean
year.
Your six teams in each conference, then? Because I only have two divisions.
Oh, I have three. Okay. So if taking the divisions as of right now.
You still have an eight.
Yeah, so it'd be two from each division.
Yeah.
So that gives you six. Two. And then two wild cards, which are the best teams.
Yep.
So it would be coming out of the Atlantic. It would be you have to win. It comes down to division games.
Yeah.
So the teams with the best division records get the two spots. So Toronto.
So the division standings are based off of the division record.
Yeah. So if you have the two best teams with the best division records get in. So it'd be in the Atlantic, the Raptors and Celtics would get automatic ins because mm-hmm. they were Raptors went 12-4 and Celtics went 10-6. Then the Bucks went 14-2. And the Pacers went 11-5. They get in. And then it was the Magic and Hornets get in. They get in because they're 10-6. Mm-hmm. And then you would have, outside of that, Philly get in. And then I think it would be the Pistons. So the Pistons would get in. So your team, your playoffs would look like Toronto, Philly, Boston, Milwaukee, Indiana, Detroit, and then Orlando. And then the Nets would be kicked out because they get screwed. Charlotte. That's right, Charlotte. So the Nets would lose because they didn't have a good enough division or record. Because the Pistons, oh no, actually the Pistons wouldn't get in because the Nets mm-hmm. had a better record. So it'd be Brooklyn, Boston, Philly, Toronto, Milwaukee, Indiana, and then Orlando, Charlotte. Pistons get knocked out because of the division.
And Charlotte comes in.
Yeah, and Charlotte comes in. And then for the Western side,
so it changes one team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. And then for the Western side, in the Northwest, Nuggets and Oklahoma City get in automatically mm-hmm. because they were Nuggets were 12-4 in the division. OKC was 9-7 in the division. Then Golden State gets in, and the Clippers get in 13-3 and 11-5. And then Houston gets in, and San Antonio gets in. So then it looks like the
both Northwest.
Yeah, Blazers and Jazz get in, and that means the no one
nobody
gets
misses.
Out.
Same exact.
All right, but yeah, that would be the proposal. I don't know if it makes sense. You guys might think it's stupid.
It adds value to sense. Divisions, which I think
I don't know.
Like you said,
yeah, I don't know.
I never understood like why we win divisions.
But do you reseed then based because of the division? So it's like whoever, like if you're division, you're one seed, and
the
best individual.
The sixth seed.
Yeah. Okay. So that would actually change a lot then if you do. Continue to add on mm-hmm. top of that. And I think that could be some direction they go. Because that way, the three division winners are 1-2-3 based on their own.
And
so
then you use
one through six would be all of our division winners by regular season records.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, 1-3 should be division winners. Oh,
one through
oh,
six.
Are you doing?
Because of the two teams in each division. So
yeah.
Milwaukee would still be the one seed. Toronto would still be the two seed. Boston would still be the. Boston would become a three seed because Philly is a wild card in this situation.
See what?
So Boston would be a three seed. Four would be the Pacers. Five would be the Magic. Six would be the Hornets. Seven would be the Sixers. Eight would be the Nets.
See, what I'm saying is like if you're then a one seed in your division, then you're going to be 1, 2, or 3. It's based on your overall record.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're a two seed in your division, you're 4, 5, 6 mm-hmm. based on record, and then 7, 8 is just record alone.
So then you would have the Celtics be the 4 seed,
and the Magic would get
the 3 seed.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that adds a credence to your division play matters so much more, because if you win your division, you get that 1-3, and that, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
You take home.
But the fun thing, too, is, like, let's say the Magic go, would it then be by division record or regular season
I was
record?
Going overall record for okay. the tiebreakers.
Because okay. imagine if, like, yeah. Orlando goes undefeated in the division, but they still are 42-40, yeah. and then they have to go up against, like, the fucking Sixers.
Yeah, no, that's That'd why it's great. Like the, you take your division record to win your division,
yeah.
and you take the overall record to win,
to be seeded.
To do the seeding yeah. in your bracket chunk, in your mm-hmm. 1-3, your 4-6, or your 7-8.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
that adds value to the division. I think that's, and like you said, if that's their goal, maybe that's something they can lean heavily into.
The other thing, and this is totally a joke when I say it, but yeah. like when you said, oh, well, these proposals are being thrown out there because Adam Silver wants to be more like, did you say the European soccer leagues?
Yeah.
That's what the other thing, says. The other change that we need to make is, mm-hmm. worst team in the NBA Devotions. Gets relegated to the G League, and the G League winner gets in the NBA.
No.
That's yeah. what we need to do.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
Final one that we
the
didn't
Warriors
touch on.
The Warriors get relegated to the G relegated. League this year. Relegated.
Yeah, could you imagine?
Regulated.
Final thing that they brought in is the reseeding of teams in the semifinal round based on regular season record could give the NBA championship series that yeah. includes its best two teams. Totally. The WNBA has seedings in the playoffs without regarding to conference for several seasons. So what do you think about that one?
Yeah, 100%. We've been talking about the hockey has the right answer for this.
But you're...
I'm going all in.
Yeah, no. The thing I hate about this is yeah. that... So based off last year,
yeah.
if... And this is me understanding it right. It'd basically be Milwaukee, Toronto, Golden State, and Portland all thrown in the pool. And then we could have a chance of having Milwaukee versus Golden State and Toronto versus Portland. It's not just like the reseeding of the two, obviously, because there's two. I say,
oh, you're getting rid of
because it's the conference finals.
Conferences,
like it's the
yeah,
final
that's what
four
it is.
Teams.
It's getting rid of conferences yeah. for yep. when it comes down to the final four teams.
And that
yeah.
to me is stupid. Just then reseed the entire bracket and split them into two sides. Have like the top two. Okay. Team in A, team in B, team in B, to just go right down
yeah, if
and
you,
do it that way. Don't do it just
want,
for the final
if
four.
If you want the best two teams to make it, then just get rid of conferences altogether. I absolutely mm-hmm. agree.
Yeah.
Because that way, if you're expecting Golden State and, you know, like if you're looking at it and you're like, oh, Golden State and who was the other best team last year?
I mean,
Denver? Was it the second seed?
Portland. Technically played in the playoffs.
You want to know something funny, though?
No, but who was the second team last year?
If we did it last year based off of what the conference finals was, Bucks would be the number one seed, Warriors would be the number one seed, Raptors, Trailblazers. We'd get the same matchup because it'd be Bucks, Warriors, Raptors, Blazers. Unless that means... The Bucks would play the Blazers and the
yeah.
Raptors would play the Warriors. So it would be 2-3.
Yeah, 1-4, 2-3.
Okay. Let's see for 2017, 2018, because we'll see the year prior.
So we would have saw the NBA Finals in the Conference Finals and then the Eastern Conference Finals in the NBA Finals.
Do you really think that?
I think the Bucks would have beat the Blazers. I do.
I don't know.
Here's the Conference Finals. For 2017-2018, it was Celtics versus Cavs and Rockets versus Golden State. So we would have seen Houston versus the Cavs and Boston versus Golden State.
I would have enjoyed that a lot.
Say that one more time.
So this is 2 years ago.
Time. Yeah, 2 years
two
ago.
2 years ago.
Okay.
Rockets versus Celtics. No, mm-hmm. Rockets versus Cavs.
Yep.
So LeBron versus
Harden.
And then Golden State versus the hurt Boston Celtics.
Yeah, I think that would have been fun.
See, but
because you could end up with potentially that Rockets Golden State
thing.
Or no.
Would you rather see, or would you rather see this Houston?
Yep.
As number one seed.
Yep.
Number two seed, Toronto Raptors. Number three seed, Golden State. Number four seed, Boston. Number five seed, Philly. Number six seed, Cavs. So then you'd have Golden State and the Cavs on one side, and then you have the Rockets and Boston on one side.
See,
with the Sixers in there too.
That intrigues me a lot more because, like,
and then
I know
you're building up to a Warriors Cavs, and then you're building up to a Rockets Warriors.
Because then you let it play out. The one that you said that was just the 2 years ago for the conference finals, Dave's looking at it through the eyes of what could have happened. I'm looking at through the eyes of I know what happened. Mm-hmm. That Warriors team would have decimated the
Celtics.
100%. And then I have a feeling that there's a possibility we would have either seen the same finals that we got or the same Western Conference that we got. Yeah. And it's like,
well, the point is that Western Conference finals felt like it could have been on the level of the finals.
Exactly. And it's like,
did
it's
it deserve
not,
the recognition?
It's because not like we're
the Rockets were the second best team in the NBA.
But we're not getting anything different. We're not getting a different matchup. We're just
getting the matchup in the right spotlight. And to me, that matters. Because I feel like the Rockets were the second best team in the NBA last year.
Yeah,
or
see,
2 years ago.
To me, I don't think that had to be in the NBA finals to be greater. Like, it was an amazing series, and it's like we witnessed it. It wouldn't have made any change to me if it was in the finals or not in the finals.
I mean, I feel like that doesn't ring true at all for me. I think that the bigger the spotlight on the game, the more the game resonates and the more the game matters, the more moments matter. Like, again, you don't really remember middle ground games unless it's something special. And I think that everybody remembers the finals from most years. You know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's...
Like, the second best team that year was the Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, well, it was Golden State and the Cavs, and they beat the shit out of the Cavs.
The only thing it changes in my mind is that Cleveland-Houston game.
Yeah.
That's the game where I'm like, I can't pick a clear winner because I could see LeBron go.
I would love to see that series play
and
on
that's
seven.
But then when you go into the next series, it's like, I know what I saw, and I expect the same thing as what I saw from what we did see, where I don't see the Warriors losing. If we replay them now, I don't see the Warriors re-losing either of those series, depending on who. So what, it changes one game in a series that you said, oh, means a little bit less because it's not the finals then? Cleveland-Houston would have been a conference final game and not
would have been a great series, and I think maybe it's special right now because you don't see those teams get to play a series against each other unless it's a finals matchup, and that's the whole East-West shit.
Mm-hmm.
If that goes away, I think over time maybe that loses some specialness, but right now, that would be amazing. I would pay money 100% to go watch that series play out. But again, it isn't the case. I think that reseeding should happen. I think the cross seeding is fine. I'm all for making the playoffs the best two teams getting to the most important game of the year. Or most important game series, whatever you want to call it.
I agree, and I want to see those teams match up, but I want the chaos that could happen, and I think that making that happen, where if you could put the fucking Golden State Warriors and Cavs on one side, like, and you're expecting the Warriors to make it to the finals, but they have to go through LeBron James. Goddamn.
Right? God There's damn. Different storytelling, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of the cruise, you know, Golden State was just going to cruise or whatever.
Like, the reason we had divisions was because it was easier to travel and they didn't have fucking planes back in the 50s. Like, doesn't matter.
And look at this here. Are you going to have, you know, the Lakers-Clippers? Like, I think most people think that right now. I mean, we're only 13, 14 games in the season.
Mm-hmm.
That looks like the two best teams in the NBA by far, right?
Yeah. I mean, the Celtics have been very good, but
the Heat have looked very good.
The Celtics have been playing injured. The Heat have been playing very good.
The Heat have been good, but
I
don't think the
world
Lakers
beaters.
Would roll stomp them.
I don't know.
I
know. Heat team looks really good this year.
Okay, who are you taking in seven games? LeBron James and Anthony Davis and a pretty damn good bench with Dwight Howard or Jimmy Butler and Duncan Robinson?
Forgot Kendrick Nunn.
I forgot Kendrick Nunn.
Kendrick Nunn's been on a heater as well. Pun intended. Yeah. Pun intended, Sean.
So
you're
sorry,
on a heater.
I forgot about Kendrick Nunn.
The Heat already played the Lakers and they got their butts kicked. So,
the Heat did?
Yeah.
You always say that stuff and I'm like, oh, great, now I'm stupid. I forget. Who won? The Lakers?
Yeah, the Lakers won.
Okay, there you go. Because they're better. They're a better team. Let us know your thoughts down in the comments below about this. I'm for reseeding of the semifinalists.
It was 95-80, by the way.
Okay.
Weird low-score game.
I think that the reseeding should happen. I would be fine if it happened, but I would like to see it expanded even more. I think the in-season tournament is dumb. Mainly because what's the point? There's no prize happening.
And it's just a few extra games and players don't want to play extra games as it is now.
The play-in would be interesting, but I think the teams have to be good. And no one really wants to see bad teams just play basketball for no reason. But then again, there was the Nuggets year, 2017-2018. That was such a good year of basketball. 2017-2018, where the Nuggets had to win their last game and they didn't get it.
It's like the double play-in,
So maybe, but I would like it if they changed it to what if you got six teams in for sure, and then the rest of those teams
they play a playoff.
See, that could be interesting. Yeah, I think the NBA needs to go bigger on this shit. They need to go for the games that actually matter and not try to spice up the regular season like this. Like, mm-hmm. we love the regular season. It's too long. Players need more breaks between games with the play they're playing right now, the how high-level athletes they are. So give us 60 games in the regular season.
Give us 60 seasons.
Give us 60 seasons, too.
60 seasons. 60 more seasons.
Yeah, absolutely. But, like, make the playoffs where it counts. Make that your mark on the game, Adam Silver.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ricky, final thoughts?
No, I think we hit everything that I need to, or that we needed to. I got nothing more to add.
Usually just final thoughts. It's like summing up what you did say, but whatever. Let us know your thoughts down in the comments below. But that's going to do it for the podcast. Thank you for listening. Hopefully you can rate and subscribe to our podcast and review our podcast as well. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe to the channel. We greatly appreciate that. But that's going to do it for Dave Oster. That's Ricky Widmer. We want to thank John, our patron, for joining us for this first segment. I'm Sean Anderson. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to this MVP podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Most Valuable Pod for more great podcasts.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.